This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How humour can ease workplace tension when used right. The line between relief and damage is thinner than most people think. In short, humour can ease workplace tension faster than almost any other tool, but it only works under specific conditions. Use it after the concern is heard, not before or instead of it. Keep it self-directed or situational, never aimed at a person. Watch the response immediately. It tells you whether it helped or made things worse. Definition: humour workplace tension refers to the deliberate use of levity, wit, or comic relief to reduce interpersonal or group conflict in a professional setting. When timed correctly and aimed carefully, it interrupts defensive cycles and creates emotional space for productive conversation. I watched a manager try to joke his way through a redundancy announcement once. The room had been heavy for 10 minutes. He sensed the discomfort and, meaning well, said something wry about the company's talent for bad timing. Half the room stiffened. Two people quietly left before the meeting ended. The humour was not cruel. It was simply dropped into the wrong moment, aimed in the wrong direction. That is a risk with humour in tense situations. The gap between relief and damage is thinner than people expect, and you rarely get a second chance once you have crossed it. Managing humour workplace tension is genuinely difficult because the instinct is sound. Laughter does reduce cortisol. A shared smile does lower defensiveness. The problem is the timing, target, and tone all have to be right simultaneously, and most people have never been taught how to read those variables under pressure. This article gives you a working method. You will know when to try it, how to deliver it, and what to do if it lands wrong. Why getting this wrong costs more than you think. Tension in a workplace is like pressure building behind a door. The instinct is to find something, anything, to release it. Humour feels like a release valve. The trouble is that when you use it too early, too publicly, or aimed at the wrong thing, you do not release the pressure. You spike it. I have seen confident, well-meaning people lose the trust of a team in a single ill-judged moment of levity. The person on the receiving end of a conflict does not forget the moment you made light of their concern. They carry it into every conversation that follows. The specific difficulty with humour-intense situations is that it can mean too many things at once. It can signal ease and connection. It can also signal dismissal. The same words land differently depending on who speaks them, who hears them, and what has just been said. That ambiguity is what makes it dangerous. If you learn to control the conditions rather than just reach for the joke, you will use it well. Before you even think about levity. Two things must be in place before humour has any business entering a tense conversation. First, the concern must be acknowledged. If someone is upset, frustrated, or in conflict, they need to feel that their position has landed before anything lighter enters the room. Humour introduced before acknowledgement signals that you are trying to escape the discomfort rather than face it. That impression is very hard to undo. Second, you need enough rapport with the people involved. A quip from a trusted colleague lands as warmth. The same quip from someone less known lands as flippancy. If you're new to the team or if this is one of your first conversations with the person, hold back entirely. For building that foundation first, the process in how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy is a strong place to begin. How to use humour to ease tension without making it worse. This is a sequence. Do not skip steps, especially the early ones. The later steps are where the skill lives, but the early ones are what make the later ones possible. 1. Read the room before you say anything. Look at how people are holding themselves. Are they leaning forward, tightly wound, actively upset? Or is there a moment of stillness, a slight exhale, a look exchanged between people that suggests the worst of the pressure has passed? Humour belongs in the second kind of moment, not the first. Brushing this read is the most common error I see. 2. Acknowledge the substance of the tension directly, before any lightness. Say clearly that you understand what is at stake. Something as simple as, I hear you. This has been genuinely difficult, and I don't want to gloss over that. This step protects you. When the acknowledgement is real, a subsequent moment of lightness reads as relief rather than dismissal. This connects directly to the process in how to deliver negative feedback positively. Acknowledgement before anything else. 3. Choose your target carefully. The safest humour is directed at a situation or at yourself. Never at the other person, their role, their history, or a group they belong to. Self-deprecation, when genuine, is disarming. A manager who says, "I've made this exact mistake before. It was spectacular in all the wrong ways," invites connection. The same manager who jokes about someone else's error deepens the wound. 4. Deliver it quietly, not as a performance. Humor that is announced is really funny. Drop it into the conversation at a normal volume, without a pause before it that signals here comes the joke. Brevity helps. One sentence is better than three. If it lands, it will land. If it requires explanation, it has already failed. Here is a short example. A team has just had a tense exchange about a missed deadline. The manager has acknowledged the pressure and heard both sides. Then, without fanfare, "I once submitted the wrong version of a report to an entire board. We survived. We will survive this too." No setup. No punchline. Just a genuine moment that signals perspective without minimizing the problem. 5. Watch the immediate response. Give the other person 2 or 3 seconds. If they relax slightly, make eye contact, or offer even a small smile, you've created an opening. If they go still, look away, or respond in a clipped tone, the attempt did not land. Do not repeat the joke. Do not explain it. Move immediately to the next step. 6. If it landed, use the opening to not dwell in it. A moment of shared levity creates a brief window where defenses are lower and conversation is easier. Do not let that window close by extending the humor. Return to the substantive issue quickly while the emotional temperature is still lower. Something like, "Right, so let's talk about what we actually need from each other this week." The humor did its job. Now let the conversation do its job. For a structured way to move the conversation forward, how to handle conflict during meetings covers the next steps clearly. 7. If it did not land, acknowledge it and move on. Do not ignore a failed attempt. That silence between a failed joke and the next sentence is excruciating for everyone. A simple, direct acknowledgement works. "That came out wrong. I'm sorry. Let me get back to what matters here." Then do exactly that. The willingness to name the misfire and return to seriousness often repairs more trust in the humor would have built if it had worked. Adapting this for remote and hybrid teams. Remote settings make humor significantly riskier. In a video call, you lose the nonverbal cues that tell you whether a moment landed. A flat expression on a small screen is much harder to read than one in a room. Audio delays can make timing collapse entirely. In remote tension management, the safer approach is to wait longer before attempting humor, to lean toward self-deprecation rather than situational wit, and to watch explicitly for the verbal response rather than relying on body language. If someone types a reply in the chat or responds verbally with a lightness that mirrors yours, it landed. If the response is purely task-focused and terse, it did not. Humor in asynchronous communication, such as Slack or email, during a tense exchange is almost always a mistake. Without tone, without timing, without facial expression, even a gently intended comment can be read as sarcasm. If the tension is live and ongoing, keep your written communication direct and serious until the issue is resolved. How transparency reduces workplace tension is worth reading alongside this if you manage remote relationships regularly. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book They Write Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong. Mistake 1. Using humor to avoid the conversation, not to ease it. Why it happens. The discomfort of a tense exchange is real, and humor offers an escape from it. What to do instead? Ask yourself honestly, am I using this to create space for the real conversation, or to skip it? If the answer is skip, hold back. The real conversation is the one you need to have. Mistake 2. Timing it before acknowledgement. Why it happens. People read the tension and try to dissolve it immediately, before the person in conflict feels heard. What to do instead? Acknowledge first, always. A 2-sentence acknowledgement costs nothing and changes everything about how subsequent levity is received. See how to use the master method to prepare for the high-stakes tension conversations. I work for a full framework on preparation. Mistake 3. Making the joke too public. Why it happens. Group settings amplify the instinct to perform. People play to the room. What to do instead? In group settings, the bar is higher and the risks are greater. If you're going to attempt a moment of levity with a whole team, it needs to be genuinely inclusive and directed entirely at the situation, not at any person. If you are unsure, wait until you can speak one-to-one. For groups specifically, how to ensure every participant gets heard can help you manage the dynamics before tension reaches a peak. Mistake 4. Confusing sarcasm with wit. Why it happens. Sarcasm feels clever and is easy to reach for under pressure. What to do instead? Sarcasm during tension almost always reads as contempt. Wit is warm. Sarcasm is pointed. If you are not certain which one you are about to deliver, do not deliver either. A quick check before you speak. Use this before you attempt humor in any tense situation. If you cannot say yes to every question, hold back. Number 1. Has the core concern been acknowledged clearly? Number 2. Do I have enough rapport with this person for levity to read as warmth? Number 3. Is my humor aimed at the situation or at myself, not at another person? Number 4. Is this a moment of relative stillness rather than peak distress? Number 5. Am I prepared to acknowledge it directly and move on if it does not land? Number 6. Am I trying to open the conversation further, not close it down? If any of these is a no, the moment has not arrived yet. It may arrive. Wait for it. The willingness to wait is itself a form of skill. You can also apply the deal method to the broader conflict that humor is trying to ease. How to use the deal method to resolve conflict that our fracturing team synergy gives you a structured framework for the conversation that follows. The real work is in the waiting. Here is the truth of it. The best use of humor in tense situations is often the moment you chose not to use it. Patience, in this context, is not passivity. It is precision. A well-timed moment of lightness, earned through acknowledgement and rapport, can do more for a working relationship in 10 seconds than an hour of careful conversation. But that same 10 seconds, deployed too early or aimed carelessly, can undo months of trust. Managing humor workplace tension is a practice. You will get it wrong occasionally. I still do, after decades of working on it. The skill is not in being effortlessly funny. The skill is in reading when the door is open, stepping through it cleanly, and knowing how to recover when you misread the room. That is what separates someone who occasionally lightens the air from someone who reliably does damage trying. Start with the checklist. Use it until the questions become instinct. That is how any real skill takes root. Frequently asked questions. What is humor workplace tension, and how are they connected? Humor workplace tension describes the relationship between levity and conflict in professional settings. A well-placed, self-aware moment of lightness can interrupt a cycle of defensiveness and create space for honest conversation. Used carelessly, the same attempt makes tension significantly worse. How do you use humor to ease tension at work without offending anyone? Keep humor self-directed or situational, never aimed at a person or group. Deliver it quietly, not as a performance. Read the room first if people are distressed or the stakes are very high, hold back entirely. Timing and tone do more work than the words themselves. When is humor appropriate during a conflict or difficult conversation? Humor is appropriate only once the core concern has been heard and acknowledged. Using it before that point signals you're not taking the issue seriously. A brief moment of shared lightness after acknowledgement can reduce defensiveness and make the next step of the conversation easier. What kinds of humor should you avoid in tense workplace situations? Avoid sarcasm, irony aimed at another person, and any joke that targets identity, role, or past mistakes. Avoid humor that requires the other person to laugh at themselves before they are ready. These approaches feel dismissive and will deepen rather than ease the underlying tension. How do you know if humor actually helped or made things worse? Watch what happens immediately after the moment. If the other person relaxes, makes eye contact, or mirrors even a slight smile, the tension has eased. If they go quiet, look away, or respond stiffly, the attempt landed wrong. Acknowledge it directly and return to the substantive issue. Can humor replace a proper conversation about workplace tension? No. Humor can create a brief opening, but it cannot resolve the issue underneath. If you use lightness to avoid the real conversation entirely, the tension will return, usually stronger. Humor in conflict is a door opener, not a substitute for the conversation that needs to happen. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.